This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Merry sixth day of Christmas. And congratulations, because you successfully figured out what time the service was today. The Bible begins in a very similar way that the gospel begins today. In Genesis, the Bible begins with the words, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." John does not want us to miss this comparison that he is bringing out when he begins his gospel with a true direct reference to those first lines of Genesis. As we just heard, John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And as we just heard, as he goes on, just as God says in Genesis, "Let there be light," and there was light, he makes it clear that that light comes to us through Jesus Christ. The earth was a formless void. In some versions, there was chaos. And this Christmas story that we continue to celebrate is all about God coming to us in the messiness of our lives. That in that manger scene where there was so much going on, God enters in. So, as has become sort of a tradition around here, let's get into a bit of the chaos and the mess. Now, this is a little bit of a contradiction of my Silent Love, Silent Night sermon, those of you who were here on Christmas heard, but chances are it really wasn't very silent that night, at least in the outdoor in that Holy Land area. There would have probably been some sort of crickets or bugs making noise. And even the hymn talks about the cattle are lowing. So there were probably some noises like that. And of course, Mary rode on a donkey. And there were shepherds that came, and so what are shepherds without sheep? And of course, wherever there are sheep dogs. And of course, Jesus talks about separating the sheep and the goats, because they would have known that wherever there were sheep, there were also goats. And if there was any farm, there had to be chickens. And wherever there are chickens, there are obviously roosters. And six, this is the sixth day of Christmas. There had to be those six geese laying. Now, in the Bible, there is no indication that this inn or this manger scene was kosher in any way, so there were probably pigs. And to work the farm, they had to have horses. And wherever there are horses, there are horse flies. And we know that the Magi, the three wise guys, came on camels. And yes, that is what a camel sounds like. And we also know there was no room for them in the inn. So it was at capacity. And it's the holidays. So chances are, on that night, they were having one heck of a party. Now, with all of that noise going on, in the hymn we sing, "But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes." I don't think so. Now, the thing is, these noises did not happen sequentially like I just played them for you, because the crickets and the cows and the donkeys and the sheep and the dogs and the goats and the chickens and the roosters and the ducks and the pigs and the horses and the horseflies and the camels and the party and the crying baby all happened at once. So with that is probably a more realistic background. Let us sing the first verse of Silent Night. Pretty crazy. Yet it is precisely when and how God chooses to come to us. One of the messages that I think God does not want us to miss here is that in the midst of our chaos, in the midst of our difficulties, Jesus is there. Let's be honest. This has been a difficult year. We have faced losses, deaths, sicknesses, disappointments across the board. And yet the message of Christmas is that God is there still. It becomes important for us to remember that. It is not coincidental that we celebrate a great feast day in our Anglican church this weekend. It was yesterday, the actual feast day of a man who was born to wealthy parents back in the 1100s. And they recognized at an early age how talented this man was. And so they decided they would put him on the staff of the Archbishop of Canterbury, whose name was Theobald. And as he continued to impress people along the way, he especially impressed the king, King Henry II. And they actually became close friends. So much so did he impress the king that when Theobald, the Archbishop of Canterbury, unexpectedly died, King Henry decided, "I'm going to make this man my new Archbishop of Canterbury." And despite some protestations, Thomas Becket became the new Archbishop of Canterbury. But what happens in Thomas's life is exactly the point of what I'm saying today. In the chaos and in the difficulties and in all of the conflicting ideals that he has to deal with, King Henry II thought, he's the perfect choice to be the archbishop because he's my friend and he's going to let me do whatever I want. And yet Thomas literally gets religion. Thomas understands that he answers to an audience of one, to God. And so when Henry wants to do some things that are really not what a spiritual leader would say yes to, he goes against King Henry. And as such, he ends up having to go into exile for several years. He comes back and the situation gets worse. It culminates on December the 29th, 1170. The monks, led by Thomas Becket, come into Canterbury Cathedral for their evening worship at Vespers. One of the monks runs up to Thomas and says, "There are people knocking at the door, and we know they are the soldiers that are being sent here by the king." And Thomas says, "We don't do prayers with locked doors. Let them in." King Henry's soldiers come in. They kill first one of the monks, and then they bring Thomas with the sword to his own martyrdom, only a few steps from the altar. Thomas, not at this time, but at a time that was leading up to what transpired, wrote this. "Remember how our fathers worked out their salvation. Remember the sufferings through which the church has grown and the storms that the ship of Peter has weathered because it has Christ on board. Remember how the crown was attained by those whose sufferings gave new radiance to their faith. The whole company of saints bears witness to the unfailing truth that without real effort, no one wins the crown." That site of Canterbury Cathedral soon became a place where people came from across the globe. The Canterbury Tales. People coming to pay homage to this site that becomes the symbol of the fact that we answer to an audience of one. Becomes the place where we understand that God is with us, no matter what. That whether it is the storms on the ship of Peter that Thomas talks about, or the baby in the manger, Christ is there with us. So as we continue into lives that are at times difficult, we remember God is there with us. Amen.